I'd like to welcome everyone back to Ohio Exopolitics. It is 4:30 p.m. on the 22nd of December, 2020, and it's a very crazy time we live in. There's a lot of tension between people and a lot of struggling back and forth, and sometimes arguments, and try to always maintain your neutral positive balance. It can be a challenge under these times. I was just looking at something about reincarnation, and there's clips I want to play you, but I think I'll talk a little bit about reincarnation first. We have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is who we are in our given lifetime. You have a brain, you have a conscious mind, a subconscious mind, a personality. 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form comes into the body of the child, and it places itself in the superior colliculus, which is a area like in your middle brain, somewhere near the brain stem, I believe. And it's like the area where everything kind of integrates: your sight, your hearing, your thoughts, all these integrate into that area. The spirit form is said to be a tailstock, or a fragment of the universal consciousness. Our universe has a consciousness. It has no personality, but it has a consciousness. And our spirit form is a tailstock, it's called. You can think of it as a fragment of the universal consciousness. The spirit form evolves through each reincarnated life cycle, accumulating the high values of knowledge, essence of wisdom and love, and thereby creating a monstrously great power and energy into a creational spirit energetical might block, which cannot be influenced or destroyed. Your spirit form cannot be destroyed, it can't be harmed, and it's very interesting that it can't be influenced either. Of course, our material consciousness is influenced at times. So, let me read a few of these steps. And this, I'm looking at something that comes from creationaltruth.org. And these guys do a pretty good job of laying things out. So the consciousness block enters the overall consciousness block. The consciousness block includes your consciousness, memory of the consciousness and subconsciousness, your ego, yourself, your subconscious, your mentality, your character, your personality, your thoughts, your feelings, your psyche, unconscious forms, senses, etc. Two, everything started but now completed is reviewed, resolved in seconds, and added back in. Three, all consciousness form impulses are simultaneously stored in the planetary storage banks and transferred to the spirit form. Now, what they're talking about here, I believe, is kind of the death process. The consciousness block is dissolved into pure, neutral, creational energy. Pure neutral creational energy. And then step five is the new empty consciousness block is created from the new neutral creational energy. So this is a little more detail than I've had before. But what happens when you die? The spirit form leaves your body. It takes the material consciousness with it. And the spirit form goes into the spirit realm, which is like an energy band around the planet, and it processes everything that you learned in your previous life. The material consciousness learned all this stuff, and then the spirit form in this place called the overall consciousness block starts to process all the information that you learned from your previous life. Now, the reason that we have multiple lives is because it takes that much time to learn. And the creation, the universal consciousness, creates a spirit form. And this spirit form that we have evolves independently through the human being's spiritual consciousness. So the creation created all these spirit forms for all these people like you and me. And we all evolve independently of the creation. I know you could probably discuss that and churn that back and forth. But we are kind of our own independent being. So prior to entering into the human body for the first time, the spirit form again is this totally neutral energy agglomeration in timeless existence. And the spirit form's goal is to collect wisdom through many, 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 practically countless reincarnations. If you look, there are seven steps in human evolution. And we spend millions of years in each one of these steps. And we're in the, well, we start in the primitive. We go to rational life, intelligent life, real life, life in creational wisdom, life in a spirit, half physical, half spirit state. And then this whole process of seven stages of just being a spirit form. Spirit, I shouldn't say spirit form, because there may be some aspect of a spirit body there, I'm not sure. But, for example, in our state, in rational life, we're supposed to be beginning to the stages just before true intelligence. We're able to think, we're able to reason and do things like that. And then we get into the intelligent life stage, and then we have space travel, some beginnings of genetic engineering. In stage four, we have really advanced space travel where we can go from star to star with almost no time passing. We also start to do amazing and bizarre things with genetic engineering, like, for example, Semyase, Billy's third contact, had a ship that had a sentient intelligence in it that was engineered by the player, and it was conscious, and it could communicate with Semyase telepathically. So her ship was a disc, a silver metallic disc that had a biological sentient intelligence in it that was created by the player. And you can imagine at this stage, a lot of the religions start to fall apart. Then in the fifth stage, we have life in creational wisdom. We become what's called kings of wisdom, Ishwish. Our material consciousness can do telekinesis, telepathy, even teleportation. There was a very advanced individual called Pelagon here on Earth, an extraterrestrial man, who actually developed a whole civilization on Earth. This was before Atlantis and Lemuria. But he was said to be able to float around and have plants. He could make plants grow. He was incredible. He just had a very, very advanced spirit form and a very advanced material consciousness. And he treated the native Earth people very well. So that's just a little bit about human evolution. Now, when we finally go into this half-spiritual, half-physical state, that's the same state as the council that the Pleiarians are supposedly talking with. Maybe they're from Andromeda or something to that effect. And then there's these seven stages right after the sixth, which are all spirit. Now, I don't know if we have a spirit body or exactly how that works yet. That would be something interesting to learn. But there, it starts out with the Arahat Atharasada, and it goes to the Patali level, all those seven steps. So the spirit form, it enters into the human body. Its goal is to collect wisdom, knowledge, and love through countless reincarnation. And eventually, after all those seven steps I talk about, the spirit form merges back with creation, helps creation evolve a little farther. The creation is described in the Billy's book called the Decalogue. It's described this way. It says, the creation is the being and the non-being of life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is spirit in its purest form, and unmeasurable in its wisdom, knowledge, love, harmony, and truth. It is something that is pure spiritual energy. I think that really understanding the creation and the spirit is very, very difficult for human beings. The creation stands in an unstoppable evolution, and it's wisdom and love. So, there's something called the overall consciousness block, which is a storage bank in the other realm, you know, the energy band around the planet. And I believe it's created by the spirit form. And whenever your material consciousness, when you go through this death process, I believe the material consciousness, the consciousness block, is dissolved. And it's absorbed by the spirit form. And it also goes into the planetary storage banks, I believe. So the overall consciousness block creates and programs a new consciousness and a new personality. So your new consciousness and your new personality will be different than your current personality, your current consciousness. Now, so this consciousness block for your new life is created in the overall consciousness block. And it has your personality, your consciousness, and ego. So 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form enters into the body. The heart starts to beat. The spirit form goes to the superior colliculus. And the spiritual energy of your spirit form goes throughout your entire body. Like a fine filigree, it's called. I imagine it like a net for some reason. The spirit form is not affected. Your spirit form is not affected by COVID. It's not affected by propaganda. It's not affected by anything in the material realm. So, for example, Billy lost his arm. It didn't affect his spirit form at all. Now, here's a mystery. When the spirit enters in the human body, I believe it also is still in its own realm. I don't know exactly if it's bilocating, exactly what happens there. The spirit form is, again, it's not influenced through sickness or disease. Your ego is also related to your material consciousness. It's called your inner nature in the Might of Thoughts book. It's sometimes said to be garrulous, meaning it talks too much. It's hysterical. It overcomplicates things. This is what happens with the ego. See, the material consciousness is independent. It researches, it perceives things, it consciously learns, it processes results, and eventually we, as we're evolving, as we're learning, these evolutive values start to come out. And they're that's truth, that's reality. And these evolutive values that you and I are getting, they're transferred in an impulse base to the material consciousness. From the material consciousness to the spiritual consciousness. And your spirit form takes these evolutive values and it processes them. And it becomes wiser, it becomes more knowing. But these neutral positive impulses that sometimes come from the material consciousness are transferred from the spiritual consciousness also to the material realm. So these impulses go back and forth between the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. So these values that we get, these evolutive values, when we're evolving, they are timeless. So they're not related to a specific time. They have value over centuries and centuries. And the value never goes away. You know, we talk about gold always maintaining its value. These evolutive values maintain their value more than gold, I would say. So, and these would be like learning more about love, wisdom, harmony. And it's so, the evolutive value is the purest kind of knowledge. So the consciousness block and the spirit form kind of retreat at the time of death. They retreat out of the spirit of the physical body. They go back to the spirit realm. And these evolutive values are passed on to the spirit form. So the spirit form and your consciousness block, your material consciousness block, go into what are called the otherworldly spheres. There's something again in the spirit realm of our planet called the overall consciousness block. And that's where your consciousness goes. So when you die, your brain activity stops. And the consciousness block, your consciousness, goes into the overall consciousness block in the spirit realm. Your consciousness, your material consciousness, is dissolved into kind of this pure neutral energy, along with your personality, which, by the way, is never repeated. Every time you reincarnate, you get a different personality. So that we don't get stuck in the old patterns. So we develop habits, and we tend to go back to these habits all the time. Even if they're bad and we know they're bad, it's hard for us to break out. So if you're a person that has a lot of anxiety, you tend to go back to that anxiousness. Or if you're a person that's garrulous, over-talkative, and doesn't listen enough, you probably go back to that kind of behavior. So that's why we get a new personality when we reincarnate. So we just don't repeat the same problems as much. We get a chance to truly live a new independent life. So while we're evolving, we get these things like modesty, love, and respect. And the highest level of the modesty, love, and respect is called the consciousness form, or the essence. And eventually, these highest levels of consciousness forms, the essences, are programmed into the subconscious of the new personality. So, these evolutive values, these consciousness forms, are things like love, wisdom, logic, discernment. Evolutive values are then again, they're stored as essences. So in the spirit realm, when the spirit form is processing your consciousness that's in its dissolved, neutral, positive state, it's taking these values and it's starting to program them into your subconsciousness. So your new life that you get will be unburdened from the past. So the failures and stuff, the bad habits that you had won't affect you. I shouldn't say won't absolutely affect you, but you will be independent. You'll be unburdened when you come in the new time. And your new personality kind of starts off where the old personality left off in terms of its conscious evolution. So again, the kind of things that the spirit form is keeping, you know, from the new life to the, or from the old life to the new life, are things like love, honesty, respect, patience, diligence, humor. And the highest level of each one of these consciousness forms is called an essence. And the essences are programmed in the subconscious of your new personality. And there's these impulses. They sometimes have a huge effect on things. And there are various levels of consciousness form. But generally, the highest consciousness form, love, honesty, respect, is what is programmed into the subconsciousness of the new personality. And this is also how the spirit form grows in its power and energy. So it's real important to learn as much as you can and evolve as much as you can your material consciousness. Because in the spirit realm, the spirit form grows from that power and energy. The spirit form becomes wiser and more knowing. Now, I don't know if all of the growing takes place in the spirit realm, you know, the spirit form becoming wiser. If some of that growing hopefully occurs in the material realms too, because sometimes when there's really overpopulation, it's hard to get enough time in the spirit realm. We get pulled out way too soon sometimes. So anyway, I didn't realize I was going to spend that much time on reincarnation. Now I'm going to shift gears a little bit into some of the bad stuff that's happening right now. So we get an escape from it a little bit here by the spiritual teaching, thank goodness. But it's also good to understand what's going on. So to get that detailed understanding of what's going on, sometimes we have to step out of the mire material and into some other material. Now this is a guy named Jesse Benal. He's an attorney and he's going to talk about some of the terrible election fraud that occurred during this whole election. And if you've read Contact Report, I think it's 215 that talks about, you know, the U.S. eventually having civil wars and things like that. Very possible with what we're seeing, no matter what side of the fence you're on. Here you go.
Right? Yeah. Wow. Mr. Benal is an attorney for the Trump campaign and is lead counsel for the campaign in Nevada. He is currently a partner at the law firm of Harvey and Benal. Mr. Benal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Peters, and members of the committee. This year, thousands upon thousands of Nevada voters had their voices canceled out by election fraud and invalid ballots. Here's how it happened. On August 3rd, 2020, after a rushed special session, Nevada legislators made drastic changes to the state's election law by adopting a bill known as AB4. The vulnerabilities of this statute were obvious. It provided for universal mail voting without sufficient safeguards to authenticate voters or ensure the fundamental requirement that only one ballot was sent to each legally qualified voter. This was aggravated by election officials' failure to clean known deficiencies in their voter rolls. Because of AB4, the number of mail ballots rocketed from about 70,000 in 2016 to over 690,000 this year. The election was inevitably riddled with fraud, and our hotline never stopped ringing. While the media and Democrats accused us of making it all up, our team began chasing down every lead. Our evidence came both from data scientists and from brave whistleblowers. Here's what we found. Over 42,000 people voted more than once. Our experts were able to make this determination by reviewing the list of actual voters and comparing it to other voters with the same name, address, and date of birth. This method was also able to catch people using different variations of their first name, such as William and Bill, and individuals who were registered both under a married name and a maiden name. At least 1,500 dead people are recorded as voting, as shown by comparing the list of male voters with the Social Security death records. More than 19,000 people voted even though they didn't live in Nevada. This does not include military voters or students. These voters were identified by comparing the list of voters with the U.S. Postal Service's National Change of Address database, among other sources. About 8,000 people voted from non-existent addresses. Here we cross-reference voters with the coding accuracy support system, which allowed our experts to identify undeliverable addresses. Over 15,000 votes were cast from commercial or vacant addresses. Our experts found these voters by analyzing official U.S. Postal Service records that flag non-residential addresses and addresses vacant for more than 90 days. Incredibly, almost 4,000 non-citizens also voted, as determined by comparing official DMV records of non-citizens to the list of actual voters in the 2020 election. The list goes on. All in all, our experts identified 130,000 unique instances of voter fraud in Nevada.
So there are 130,000 unique instances of voter fraud in Nevada. Such a terrible thing that's going on. I hope you can hear this. It seems to be rather quiet. I apologize.
The actual number is almost certainly higher. Our data scientists made these calculations not by estimations or statistical sampling, but by analyzing and comparing the list of actual voters with other lists, most of which are publicly available. To put it simply, they explained their methods so others could check their work. Our evidence has never been refuted, only ignored. Two Clark County technical employees came forward completely independent of each other and explained that they discovered that the number of votes recorded by voting machines and stored on USB drives would change between the time the polls were closed at night and when they were reopened the next morning.
So again, let me repeat that. There would be a certain number of votes on the machine, let's say 100,000. The polls would close. There would be no votes that came in at night, you know, because it's closed. Nobody's voting. They're not taking in any additional votes or anything. And the next day, there'd be like 25,000 more votes than when the machine was, you know, stopped. So I'm not saying they turned the machine off. Somehow, some way, either these machines through the software on it actually are programmed to put more votes on there for a certain candidate. So it's crazy. It's crazy stuff. It's totally crazy.
In other words, votes were literally appearing and disappearing in the dead of night. When we attempted to verify the integrity of these voting machines, we were allowed only a useless visual inspection of the outside of a USB drive. We were denied a forensic examination. Finally, our investigation also uncovered a campaign to illegally incentivize votes from marginalized populations by requiring people to prove that they voted to receive raffle tickets for gift cards, televisions, and more. Our determined team verified these irregularities without any of the tools of law enforcement, such as grand jury, subpoenas, or FBI agents. Instead, we had less than a month to use critical thinking and elbow grease to compile our evidence. We tried to obtain testimony or documents from Clark County officials, but they obstructed and stonewalled. When we filed suit, state officials and even courts delayed proceedings for days, but then offered us merely hours to brief and argue our cases. In wrapping up, Mr. Chairman, these findings are disturbing, alarming, and unacceptable in a free society. Our free and fair election tradition is a precious treasure that we are charged with protecting. Government by the consent of the governed is hard to win and easy to lose. Every single time a fraudulent or illegal vote is cast, the vote of an honest citizen is canceled out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bernal.
So there we go, folks. I think we'll call it a program there. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.